Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us this morning, Heavenly Father, so that we can walk according to your word and according to your will and your way. Now, Father, we're asking you to be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we're asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to be speaking to you again this morning from Romans chapter 12. We had started with chapter 12 and thought that we would even get through it, but instead the Holy Spirit had enough for us that we really only got through the first two verses. So we're going to be picking up here with verse 3 and continuing on with it. There's still a lot in there, because we are living in a day and time of the end. Mankind don't want to believe this, and they don't like us even preaching it, because you see, they want us preaching and teaching things just for itching ears. They don't want to hear the truth of God's word. But this is what we need to be in today, because the Lord's going to be coming for his church a lot sooner than what mankind believes or thinks. And we need to be ready, because all that are not ready when he comes for the church is going to be left behind. And that's something you don't want to be. I know there's a lot of them out there that thinks, oh, well, if I'm left behind, I've still got time. No. You see, time running out. Because when he comes for the church, this church age is over. And the rest of God's grace and all is going to be upon his people, the Jewish people. The Bible tells us that during the tribulation period, there's going to be 144,000 saved. Mankind's got an idea, see, that I can just go ahead and live any old way I want to up to that time. And if it happens in my lifetime, I'll be all right. I can be saved. And they're even teaching that in a lot of our churches. But you see, that's wrong. Because he also tells us who that 140,000 is going to be. The 144,000 are from the Jewish nation. 12,000 from each tribe is to be saved during the tribulation period. 12 times 12 is 144. They are the ones that will be saved during the tribulation period. You and I will not even be here if we are ready. Because you see, during that period of time, we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes back a second time to set up his kingdom and to save his people, the Jews, we're going to be coming with him. Think about that. What a glorious day that'll be. There's nothing like serving the Lord Jesus Christ when we serve him according to his word. When we bring his word into our life and we live that word to the extent that he wants us living it, we're never alone. We're never without, because he's always right there with us. And there is nothing that we cannot accomplish that he will ask of you and I to do. We don't have to walk in sickness, not even today. A lot of us are walking with sicknesses and diseases that we don't have to have. It's where your faith is at and whether or not you are a child of God. Now, we're going to be praying for the sick at the end of this service. But in the meantime, we're going to get into this scripture here in chapter 12. And starting here with verse 3, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." When you come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and your sins have been forgiven you, God has gave you faith. And we are all give the same amount of faith. But it's what we do with it and how we live our lives to how strong that faith will grow. But if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, the smallest seed known to mankind, think about that. The smallest seed known to mankind, and your faith ain't no more than that, you can speak to a mountain and tell it to move and it'll move. So why is it that we want to continue walking around here in sickness and disease? It's because we don't want to walk in His Word. Because if your life is by His Word, He has already gave you healing. He gave that to you when they put them stripes on His back. We'll be getting into that a little later on. Now, but He gave to each one of us that measure of faith. He goes on now here in 4 and He says, for as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, we are not all called to the same purpose in life. No. We are all called to be children of God. But He's speaking here about our office in life in the church. And He lets us know this. Here in verse 5, He says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. You see, that is a gift. Prophecy is a gift. But if it's given to you, then prophesy according to the portion of faith. In verse 7, He says, our ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. These are all gifts that is supposed to be in our churches today. But we find in very little of it that's actually in our churches that is working according to God's word. Most churches has these offices, yes, but they're just not teaching God's word. They're teaching tradition of mankind and what they wanted to say, what they wanted to accomplish, not what God has in mind. Now, are he that exalteth on exhortation? He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. These are all gifts of Almighty God. And these are things that we all should have. But what gift he has gave you to use will depend on what office he has called you for. There are some that will carry all 9 gifts of God. I'll grant you, you're not going to find many that will carry all. But there are some that will. But you know, they want to deny what God has given the church. We've got churches out there today that is teaching you that God does not do these things today. That those 9 gifts died when the apostles died. That's not so. What do you mean, Pastor, that's not so? You don't see them today in the church, do you? Why? Why don't you see them in the church today? The Lord Jesus put them there. Oh, no, he didn't. They all died. Now, when the apostles died, Pastor, they all died then. Well, let's see what the Word of God has to say about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, You don't have to go there. I'll read it to you. You can check it later. And starting here with verse 26, it says, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. Who put it in the church? God, not man. God put it in. First, apostles. They should be apostles in the church. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. How many of you can sit and tell me you know of a church around that's got apostles and prophets in it today? No. Teachers? Oh, there's a few out there. After that, miracles. Oh, no, that died now. Them miracles, they all died when the apostles died. No. They were just being put into the church. Then gifts of healing. Where's healing at today? We get a little sick, have a little disease or something comes up. What's the first thing we do? We run to man, don't we? We got to go to the doctor. Because we have forgot the greatest doctor of all, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He put healing in the church. Now, you say, well, how do you know all of that? Because the Word tells us all of that. Oh no, now you can't hand me that. Well, let's just see what God has to say about it. If you'll come with me. To James, chapter 5, you don't have to come here. I'm going to read it to you. You can just go there later. Chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Well, I thought I had to have to go to the doctor now. I got something wrong. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Oh? Well, I've got a family doctor out here I can go to. Yeah, and you can stay sick by going. He said, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. We stay sick because we don't go to the right physician, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. His word, not mine. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you are walking according to the Word of God, walking and living a righteous life, there is nothing impossible to you. He's gave us guidelines and examples to show us that very thing. He goes on here with this same, here in the same place, here in verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He wasn't any different than you and I. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Well, all of us that's read the Old Testament and read about his life, we know that that's exactly what he done, that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years. Think about that. That's pretty good power, isn't it? In one's prayer. 3 years and 6 months. But listen at him again. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave him rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Because he would believe in what he was praying. We walk in sickness today because we do not put our faith at work and our belief in the Word of Almighty God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, oh, well, I believe Jesus can heal. Yeah. And when you ask him to heal you, what's the next thing that pops in your mind? Well, you know, I know he can, but he may not want to heal me. You killed it right then. Wasn't him, it was you. Because you brought that doubt and that little bit of unbelief in. When you did, you blocked it. Instead of going to him and saying, Lord, I've got this sickness, I've got this disease, please heal my body. Raise up, lift up your hands to heaven, say thank you, Jesus, for my healing, and know in your mind, see it in your mind, that it's done and it will be done. But as long as you bring doubt and unbelief into it, you block it, not him. Oh, now, Pastor, you don't know that. You can't prove that. Oh, yes, I can. I can prove it. And don't even have to really go that far to do it. All I have to do is go to a doctor's office in Louisville to prove it. Because, you see, I went to him to find out what was the matter with me. Couldn't stand my shirt and nothing to touch me. Burned just like fire burning me. Couldn't stand it. Got in there to him. He examined me, he told me, he said, you've got shingles. I told him, I said, I don't want them things. Well, you may not want them, but you got them. He said, now my man's I get my medicine from, he's gave me some samples of this medicine. He said, I'm going to give you your medicine. He said, you get home, take it. And he said, Monday morning, call me. This was on Friday. He said, call me Monday and let me know how bad you broke out. He said, because I may have to raise the dosage. I told him, I said, Doc, I told you I don't want them. I don't want them things. I got home. My wife was with me. I got home, threw the medicine up in the cabinet. She said, ain't you going to get started taking that? Told her, I said, no, I told doctor I didn't want them. I ain't going to have them. She looked at me like I had two heads. You know her. You've all met her. Monday rolled around, I forgot to call him. Monday night, I told her, I said, you know, I forgot to call Doc. In the morning, we'll go and take his medicine back to him. He can give it to somebody else. We got in the car Tuesday morning. Went into his office there in Lowell. He come in. He says, open up your shirt. Let me see how bad you broke out. I told him, I said, I ain't broke out, Doc. I told you I didn't want them things. Oh, I know you're broke out. He said, let me see. I done the shirt, opened it up. He looked, backed up against the wall. Looked at my wife, told her, I don't know what to do with him. He comes in here. I tell him he's got something. He tells me he don't want it. He ain't got it. He said, I don't know what to do with him. I said, oh, yes, you do. I've told you. But you little Jew, you just don't want to listen. Because that's what he is. He's a Jewish doctor, Dr. Barry Klein in Louisville. You can call him. He'll tell you he knows me. People, when we first meet, when I would first go to his office to take one of them in there or something, or go in there to see him, people think we was mad at each other. I'd go in there and he'd look at me and he'd say, what are you up to today, Cherokee? Well, I had to come here to see you, you little Jew. But we were pretty good friends. Well, except I couldn't get him to believe in the word of Almighty God. He just would not believe. And yet he was seeing what God was doing in my life and how God was taking care of me. But you see, now we are living in a day and time that we better get close to God and we better do it soon. We don't have time to play or play church anymore. We don't know how soon the Lord will come back for his church. But we know he's going to, and we know all the signs he gave us to watch for. We're seeing them at work right today. And we're going to be seeing them get worse and worse. We're going to see more earthquakes. We're going to see more volcano eruptions. These are all things that are supposed to pick up. And they have been picking up. California alone, in the last 5 years, has almost doubled in the earthquakes. The Word of God is truth. And man is walking further and further and further away from it each and every day. Now, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Hold on to that that's good. But hate that evil that's out there. Now, verse 10. Here's another place we fall down. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Oh, I can't love that one. That one is just, oh, I just can't stand that. I can't stand that one. That's the one you're supposed to be loving. How can you reach him if you don't love him? How can you lead him to God when you don't love him? You can't. Not slothful in business. Don't be lazy. That's what the word slothful means. Being lazy. Be boiling over. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Our lives are to be built to where we are working and serving the Lord all of the time of our lives. Not just on days that we have service at church, but all the hours, all the minutes that you live should be to where you are serving the Lord. He's on your mind throughout the day. You're continuing in his word and with his word. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. That's another most of us miss. We're not very patient in anything, are we? Let alone in tribulation, something that's coming against us. Continuing instant in prayer. Another place we lack. How many times a day do you actually go to God in prayer? And do you know that each and everything that you have, you should be thankful for and thanking God for it? And whatever happens when you're going through a day and something happens, you need to be thanking God right then for it. But we don't do it. But that's not what we're told to do. Distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. Are you really reaching out to others around you? Are you helping those that are in need? Are you inviting others into your home to help them out? No, most of us don't, do we? 14. Bless them which persecute you. That one that's talking about you. That one that's lying about you. That one that's lying to you. Well, I can't stand him. What did the word just tell you? You're supposed to be blessing him. Praying to God and blessing him. Think about that. And you will walk more like Jesus walked. You know, you can walk the same path Jesus walked. We can walk in his footsteps. We are told to walk in his footsteps. We are told to do the same things he done. We just don't do it, do we? But that's what we're told. Bless and curse not. We're supposed to bless them, not curse them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. don't sound like our lives, does it? Does that actually sound like your life? Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Get yourself and get your wisdom and become wise in the Word of God and not in your own conceit. And recompense to no man evil for evil. Those that will come against you, don't sit and try to figure out a way to get even with him. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's what we're supposed to be doing. In the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We don't need to be seeking revenge on each other. Vengeance belongs to God. Uh-oh. Boy, you're nutter now. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You're to love that one. Because you see, when you are helping him out and helping to take care of his needs, God's there with you. And God will take care of him or her, whichever the case may be. And we're going to be ending here with chapter 12, this is last verse. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Those that will come against you, let them come. But be good to that one. Be good to him or her. Whatever that case may be. I'm going to be asking if any of you wants prayer for healing in a moment. Before we get into that, I've got a few scriptures about healing that I want to share with you to get your faith where it needs to be. So if we go to Matthew, the 9th chapter, and the 20th verse, I'll read to you. 20 through 22. This shows what faith will do for you. This woman, we've all heard the story. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. But why did she do it? She had told herself that if she could touch just the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. Verse 21 tells us that. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about when he saw her. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. You see, she made her way to him when he was in a crowd. And she touched just the hem of his garment. Most everyone took it that she had touched the hem of his robe. Jesus didn't wear a robe, a long robe like most of the men in that day and time wore. What she touched was a prayer shawl. It's called a Tibet. And the hem of it is lined with little tassels. And the corner of that prayer shawl is called the wing. The wing of that prayer shawl is where the power lay. Now, come with me to Malachi. Chapter four. Pardon me. Chapter 4 and verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The scripture tells you that he had healing in his wings. This is why Jesus wore that prayer shawl all the time. That prayer shawl, actually, they are about 5 feet long or a little longer and 3 foot wide. The rest of that verse says, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. But now, you can get one of those prayer shawls today. There's a place where you can get them. Of course, they ask for a donation for their ministry. And I'm going to order one so that everyone can see it, because it's in the edge of that garment, the corner of it, is what it was considered as wings, Jesus' wings. It's also what Jesus, when he told you, you wanted or needed prayer, to go into your closet and pray, that was also that prayer shawl. You put that prayer shawl up over your head, bring it around, and close it. Because what that is shutting the world out. And just you and him there. Now, I want to get one so that y'all can see it. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 24 through 25. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He gave you your healing then. It has been available all these years. Most just didn't know how to get it. You don't have to beg God for healing. You just have to accept what he's already gave to you. And you do it by faith. Just as you accept salvation by faith, you accept healing the same way. By knowing that God's word is truth, by knowing he's already gave you healing, it's there when you brought it into your life. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your healing. I thank you for touching my body. I give this thanks in Jesus' name, and I proclaim it done. And you know in your mind that it's done. And when you stand that way, you'll see it work. You may not see it right at that moment, because when you first go to him and start thanking him for that healing, first thing you're going to meet and run into is Satan, because he's going to be there to steal it if he can. These verses is the reason though I wanted to share with you. Well, so the Satan can't get to you and get to your mind. Verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. He is the master. He is the great physician. He is the healer. And when you can accept that, then you know, and you can stand without any doubt knowing that what you have spoke to has taken place. If you are his child. Now, let's go back to Matthew again, to chapter 4. In verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. There is no sickness or no disease that he cannot heal, or that he has not healed. When he gave that healing to us, we are told that we are healed by his stripes. Should be no doubt in your mind left about the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, or how to get it. Now, come with me to Acts. Acts chapter 14. We're going to start here with verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. Now, this is not Jesus preaching. This is men just like you and I, if we are a child of God. Because that's what they were. This is the apostles, and they were just men. Most of them were fishermen. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. This man had been crippled from birth, had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. There's that word faith again. He had faith to where he could be healed. And he said with a loud voice, Paul did, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. One that had never walked. Now he's leaping and walking. Not only was his legs healed, but his sense of balance and all. You know, when something happens to you and you lose the use of your legs for a while, when you get them, the use of them back, what happens next? You end up in rehab, don't you? To get that balance and that strength back. He got it all at the same time. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying, in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. They thought Paul and them was God. Paul and them told them different, because they wasn't about to take that. You see, because it's not us that do these things. Yes, we can pray for each other and see healing done. I may anoint you with oil, lay my hands on you, and pray that prayer of faith, and you be healed. I didn't do that. God did that through me. And for me to take credit, I guarantee you, you ain't going to get nothing. But for God, he is the one that done it. Now, with that, I am going to ask if there is anyone that wants to come forward for prayer, for healing. If they do, we'll anoint you with oil. Then we'll pray that prayer of faith. All right. No one? All right. We're still going to have prayer for healing for those that are online. Because you see, there is no distance when it comes to the power of prayer. Just as the centurion met Jesus and asked him to heal his child. His child wasn't there with him. His child was even in another town. But Jesus didn't have to be there, because you see, he's everywhere. And so is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. So those of you that are online listening, or those that will download this and listen to it later. If you will put your mind at work and stand in faith, pray this prayer with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come at this time with sickness in our bodies. But Father, we know that we have been healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this body is being made whole at this time. Satan, you and your demonic powers, leave this body. Turn it loose and leave me in this place. And we command this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. And we thank him for that healing that he has given to us. And Father, we are calling it done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Praise your holy name. Praise that name of Jesus. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer and you're standing in faith, you'll find that healing is done. In Jesus' name. All right. Remember now that we, God willing, we can all be together again come 6 p.m. this evening. Spend the day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. So until 6 p.m., hold on to God. He'll hold on to you. Have a great day.